Right, so today we're going to be doing week two, and we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy 3:16. Actually, it's on this handout. Has everyone got one of these handouts? Yeah, if not, you can quickly grab some at the front there. Oh, is that yours? Okay, great. Everyone's got one. So 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, and I'm going to read it now. So it says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about why can we trust the Bible? That is our topic today. Why can I trust the Bible? Okay, so did you know the Bible is the most read book in history, most translated book in history? And all scripture is God-breathed. We just read that. God breathed, God inspired. And Psalm 119:86 says, all of your commands can be trusted. All of God's commands can be trusted. You know, it's one thing for the Bible to claim this is God's word, and it's true, but how do we know I can trust it? How can we know we can trust it? You know, Time magazine, they had this exact question twice on their front cover. First one was, how true is the Bible? This is on Time magazine. And then the second heading was, is the Bible fact or fiction? I like that one. Is the Bible fact or fiction? And this morning we're going to settle this issue, because there are incredible proofs, facts and truths that we all need to know to help us make up our minds. Amen. So that you're not making your mind up based on what Sam is saying, what I'm saying, what someone else has said even, but what the Bible claims for itself and what history, science teaches us about the Bible. So we're going to look at this. Why can I trust the Bible? Well, I'm going to talk about 7 reasons, so bear with me. And I want you to write down each and every one. So reason one. It is historically accurate. Did you know that? It is historically accurate. Write that down. So it's not just accurate, not just good doctrine, not just some good ideas and some encouraging things to read, not just good moral values. It is true historically. Why is that important? Because, you know, the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. God cannot deny himself. Hebrews 6:18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. If there's even one lie in the Bible, it's not true. Psalm 33:4 says, the word of the Lord is right and it is true. Not just true and right about salvation, but also true and right about history. How do we know then if an historical fact is true? Well, like all good historians, they will go by the test of good history. So they ask, is it from an eyewitness account? Or is it secondhand? Or maybe it's third hand or fourth hand? Or was it a legend that was written 100 years later? Did you know the Bible is primarily eyewitness account? Which is the best account? The disciples were there. When they were in the upper room in the book of Acts, they were there. They saw what happened. When Moses parted the Red Sea, he was there and they wrote it down. Story after story, it was eyewitness accounts. Another proof is archaeology. Who likes a bit of archaeology? Anyone out there? Yeah, come on, Robbie. So archaeology actually proves again and again that the characters, the places in the Bible, you know, all those things that they talk about were actually true. They're not fiction. You can go and find these places that have been dug up. You can go and see for themselves, for yourselves. you know, they've dug up places like the Pool of Siloam. That's where Jesus healed the blind man in the Gospel of John. And in the book of Acts, can you remember, there's all those places that Luke, who's actually a historian as well, he mentions 54 cities, 39 countries, and 9 different islands. They've all been proved to have complete historical accuracy. The Bible is actually more accurate than many of our ideas of history. Many times when we have actually had ideas of history and we thought, actually, the Bible's not true because, you know, it's not a historical fact. It's not being recorded. But time and time again, new archaeological discoveries have been made and then have proved the Bible is in fact true. You know, there's like many historians, and there's loads of stories I could talk about, but this particular one, they used to question whether King Solomon actually existed. And they weren't sure whether there were actually horses during that time because they thought only camels were used back then. And it wasn't until they discovered at a place called Megiddo, you can look it up, they found these chariot cities with thousands of stalls that were for, guess what? Horses, like exactly. So the Bible is actually more accurate than historical books. Right, number two. Why else should we trust the Bible? Number two, write this down. It is scientifically accurate. I love this section. It is scientifically accurate. You know, Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is flawless. People who don't believe the Bible is scientifically accurate are people who either A, don't know the Bible, or B, people who don't know science. The truth is, God always sets up the laws of science, and the Bible never contradicts the laws of science. You know, in the 1600 years in which this book was written, it has never given bad science. In fact, it has always been ahead of science, always been ahead of science. And there are things that are accurate in the Bible that have only been discovered 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. And we continue to discover things. There's a famous mathematician, astronomer, Johannes Kepler, his name was, said science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. I like that. See, God established laws of physics, maths, who likes maths here? I love a bit of maths. Biology. And, you know, God established all these laws and then we get to discover them. You know, as I was like studying this, there's so many scientists that have made like really breakthrough discoveries that were believers of God, believers of Jesus. For thousands of years, we have misunderstood many things. One thing about truth, it never changes. Truth never changes, but science constantly changes. There are science things we used to believe, but now are obsolete. They have been replaced with new discoveries. It happens all the time. You know, we hear it in medical science. You know, like 10 years ago, it was really, really good to eat this type of food or take this type of thing or to do this. And now new research has shown, oh, naturally, that can cause cancer. Who hears about this all the time? There's stuff like this all the time. Or like, you know, back in the days when I was pregnant, it was okay to eat this when you were pregnant. But now they've all changed, you know, constantly changing. This one section in Paris, there's the Louvre. Anyone been there? The Louvre. So in there, it's like a museum library. In there, right, imagine this. There is an area that is 3.5 miles long and it's filled with obsolete science books. 3.5 miles long. You see, things have been disproved. What they believed 15 years ago was disproved 1,000 years ago, and so forth and so forth, and it's constantly changing. You know, you look at IT and, you know, computer science, literally you will study the subject. By the time you've graduated, all that you've learned is out of, you know, it doesn't make any sense anymore. New discoveries have been made. And the Bible does not match the science of the day, because the science is not up to date. So when people say, oh yeah, but science, you know, says that this is not true, the science is not up to date. In 1861, there was this, the French Academy of Science, they were called. They published this list, okay? They were so proud to publish this list, and it was called 51 Incontrovertible Scientific Facts That the Bible Is Not True. Basically, 51 reasons why the Bible is scientifically not true. They published this in 1861. How many years later now? 150, 160 years later, not one scientist agrees with those 51 facts, because all of them have been disproved by science. Truth does not change. Another thing, the Bible was not originated by humans. It wasn't man-made. And how do we prove this? Well, it's by looking at what's not in the Bible. Because if the Bible originated from humans, from their own wisdom, the book would be filled with scientific facts of that prevailing day when it was written. For example, during the time when the Bible was written, everyone in the world thought the world was flat. You know that? Everyone thought the world was flat, but there's not one mention in the Bible that the world was flat, even though that's what people believed during that time. Instead, 2,600 years ago, God said in Isaiah 40:22, God is enthroned above the sphere of the earth. How did they know? It wasn't believed by anyone. How did they know? Prevailing science of the day does not make it into the Bible, because it is not man-made. For years, another one, it was accepted. Science, there were about 1,000 stars in the universe and they could be counted. That's what they all believed. 150 BC, there was this guy who counted 1,022 stars, and it was accepted by everybody. And then 50 years later, 100 BC, this other guy said, well, that other guy was just talking rubbish. There's actually 1,026 stars in the universe. This is what they believed. And today, well, they're constantly finding new stars, aren't they? New astronomers say the number of stars in the universe is infinite. It is widely accepted today. There are more stars in the sky than the grains of sand on Earth. They cannot be counted. But guess what? 2,600 years ago, God said in Jeremiah 33:22, the number of stars are infinite. I love it. It was there. The truth was there. No one believed this or knew at the time it was written. And there are so many facts like that I could talk about. The Bible is always scientifically accurate. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay and purified 7 times. Okay, thirdly, we know we can trust the Bible because it's prophetically accurate. Can you write that down? It is prophetically accurate. Now, 2 Peter 1:21 says this, no prophecy ever came from what a person wanted to say. Did you know that? But people led by the Holy Spirit spoke words from God. See, all the predictions in the Bible always come true. Thousands upon thousands of prophecies where God says, this is going to happen, and this is how it's going to happen. And many of them have already taken place, and we're still waiting for others to unfold. You know, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, imagine this, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, there were over 300 prophecies about Jesus. 300 prophecies, even before he was born. Imagine that, Sam. 1,000 years, I'm going to prophesy about, it's going to be this brother called Sam that's going to be born, you know. Like, they talked about Jesus over 300 prophecies. Prophecies saying that this is where he'll be born. This is where he will, this is how he will be born. This is how he will die. This is the way he will die. There were so many things, and they all happened. They all happened. What are the odds of that happening? What are the odds? It says it takes more faith to believe it's a coincidence than to believe God planned it. It takes more faith. I absolutely agree. Over 300 prophecies about Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 56 says this. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures. And Revelation 22, 6 says, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. Okay. Another reason why the Bible is true, if you can write this down, the fourth reason is it is thematically unified. Thematically unified. What does that mean? So basically what it means is that it has the same theme throughout the entire book. Same from Genesis, right at the beginning, right till the end in Revelations, right to the end. And guess what? Jesus is the center of it all. This book was written from start to finish over a period of 1,600 years. It was written by 40 different authors on 4 different continents in 3 different languages by people who didn't know each other. Can you imagine? How did they do that? It would be different if it was just one person. You know, you look at the book of Quran, the writings of Buddha, Confucius, were all written by one man. But the Bible was written by all these people. But the same theme is the same throughout. It was written by poets, prophets, princes, kings, fishermen, soldiers, tax collectors, doctors, prisoners, common people. It was written in a cave, in prisons, on a boat, in palaces, in people's homes, and they all came up with the same theme of redemption. Cover to cover over 1,600 years. You can get more of a diverse group, all coming up with the same story. How could that happen? Luke 24, 27 says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. All the scriptures concerning himself. When Jesus said this, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So when Jesus was talking about all the scriptures or about himself, he was talking actually about the Old Testament. You know, when I was studying this, it's like, yeah, you often think the Old Testament is about Israel, right? And the New Testament is about Jesus. But actually, the whole entire book is about God's plan, and the star of it is Jesus. Amen. John 5, 39 says, this is what Jesus said, you search the scripture because you believe they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. That's talking. That's Jesus talking. So all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture point to Jesus. Okay, next one. Why can we trust the Bible? Number 5, it's confirmed by Jesus. Write that down. It's confirmed by Jesus. Jesus trusted the Bible. You know, I trust what Jesus says, but not sure about the rest of those guys in there, you might say. And it says this, Matthew 5:18, For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Not one word will disappear. It will last till the end of time. Jesus talks about the Bible as something that is life-changing. It's not just poetry or history or just a good book to read. Because Luke 11 verse 28 says, "Blessed rather those who hear the word of God and obey it." It's not just about hearing, it's about obeying it. Jesus believed that people in the Bible were real. He believed in the prophets. He believed in Daniel. Believed in Noah, Adam and Eve, Sodom and Gomorrah, Jonah. You know, he talks about those specifically in the New Testament. Augustine said this: if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you don't like, it's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. I like that. If you just like what you like and reject what you don't like, it's not the Bible you believe, it's yourself. Okay. Why else can we trust the Bible? Number six, write this down. It has survived all attacks. It has survived all attacks. You know, the Bible is the most despised, debated, denied, disputed, destroyed, the most banned book ever in history. Millions of people have died because they refused to give up their Bible. There are countries now, like in North Korea, you will get arrested, even maybe killed, for having a Bible. The Bible is the best-selling book in the world, most read, most published, most translated in the world, and it's still making a difference in people's lives. Amen? Amen. You know, the Bible is the source of our culture for the last 2,000 years. You know, the English language we speak is only because of the Bible. When the King James Version was translated, it influenced the English language. It influenced the music scene, our art, our architecture. It all comes from the Bible. Matthew 24:35 says this: "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The only thing that is going to last is the word of God. A famous French philosopher back in the day, his name was Voltaire, and he declared this in 1776. He said, 100 years from today, the Bible will be a forgotten book. Everyone's forgotten that quote now. And get this, after Voltaire died, Bibles were actually sold out of his home, and it became a main place where Bibles were sold. No one remembers Voltaire, but no one forgets the Bible. Amen. 1 Peter 1:24-25 says this: "For all peoples are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." The truth will always be the truth, whether I believe it or not. Truth will be the truth, whether I believe it or not. Just because you don't want it to be true doesn't mean it's not true. If you don't like something, if you don't want that thing to be immoral, it's not up to you. It's up to God. If you said, right, Sam, if you said you believe in the law of gravity, and I said, well, actually, I don't believe in the law of gravity, but it's all right for you to believe in the law of gravity, and I decided to jump off a building, The law of gravity will take me down, whether I believe it or not. God gives us freedom to choose. You can run from God, but one day you are going to come face to face with Jesus. One day, whether you like it or not, you're going to hit the ground. We cannot break God's laws. When you don't believe in God's word, guess what? We'll only hurt ourselves. Finally, number 7, why can we trust the Bible? It has transforming power. Amen. Write that down. It has transforming power. And this is the one that I have experienced the most. Most of us have experienced this in our lives. You know, our lives, my life has been changed because of the word, because of the Bible. The Bible has power to transform lives, power to save, power to set people free, power to heal. Rick Warren said, if I thought I can change people with laws, then I would become a politician. Laws do not change our hearts, but God can change our heart. Amen. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. It's God's truth that will set you free. You know, there's like so many like universities out there, and they just take that second part and put it on a stone. And they say, yeah, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. But they completely ignore the first bit where it talks about, no, it's God's teaching. It's God's word. If you hold on to then that truth, God's truth, that's what's going to set you free. Not just your own truth, not your own ideas, not the world's ideas, not Oprah's ideas or whatever you are listening to. It's only God's truth that is true, and it's going to set us free. I'm just going to ask you this. Do you believe everything you hear on the news? No. Do you believe everything you see online? On newspapers, on TikTok, on Instagram, in social media. Do you believe it? No. Then why do we spend more time watching and believing things we know is a lie more than God's word, is, which is true? That is what? As I close, right, the most important question you need to ask and decide is, what is going to be the final authority for your life? What are you going to build your foundations on? What is it that is never going to let you down? Is it going to be the word or the world? Word or the world? Who's going to be authority in your life, God or yourself? Some of you might say, I don't want to accept it because I want to be the boss. I want to do it my way. I've said that over and over again. God is changing my tune. Or maybe you just want to be God. I want to call the shots. I don't want to do what God is telling me, what is moral or what is immoral. Church, to rebel with God is futile. How's your life going with doing it your way? The book tells us, the Bible tells us, that your life is not an accident. Science doesn't tell you that. Not yet anyway. I have faith. The Bible says there is a reason for hope. He's created you. He has a plan and purpose for you and for me. He loves you. He saved you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He has redeemed you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Church, Are you going to make the Bible the final authority for your life, even when you don't understand it? Can I just get some? No, it's Vicky. Vicky, are you okay? Even when you don't understand it, it's not easy. And even if you don't like it, how many of you, there's bits we really don't like in the Bible, aren't there? Like, why do we have to forgive those who have hurt us, Lord? Why do we have to believe the best when they're so annoying? But there's freedom there, guys, when we do it. Because the truth sets us free.